you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Monday, March 16th, it's 7:06. I'm Stacy Ann. So glad to have you tuning in this morning, my friends. The studio line is 503-589-1220. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, and our website is kslm.news. You can listen online live. You can also download our app, take us anywhere you want to go. And I encourage you to find us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. Like us there. We have news you can use. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower. And certainly, if you have a community event that's coming up, we want to know about it. Let us know your information a couple weeks in advance. Send it to Stacy at kslm.news. Taking a look at the headlines locally and around the globe, of course, the news that we are hearing consistently, almost to the point where it's kind of getting immune to the news and a fact about the coronavirus. Schools are closed in Oregon. Lots of states and governors are choosing to close the schools as well, kind of as a preemptive measure to keep the spread of this virus going on. We'll get into more as we get into our discussion about the incident rate across the globe, but really schools are closed, lives are being impacted each and every day. And if you're a teacher and you're home today, if you're a mom and you're home working at home because you're not sure what to do about your kids, I know there's lots of programs going on right now helping families, especially with kids that have food insecurity at home. There's groups coming together all over Marion County, Polk County, Yamhill County. I know through the United Way, there's also a resource called 211 that you can find out all of the resources to help you. And so we want to be that source of information for you in regards to how to help your family through this transition time. It really is an interesting time in our country. I was thinking back, you know, I don't know in my lifetime, and we'll just say I've been out of high school now for over 30 years. I don't know, other than at 9/11, a time where everything was kind of put on pause and kind of rearranged. I remember 9/11 and being a single mom of three children at the time, how am I going to juggle work and kids being sent home from school, and I just that transition time in my life. And so we certainly, our hearts and our prayers are with you as you're figuring out, if you're a business owner, you're wondering about how you're going to operate, you're wondering about your employees. All of those things are of concern, and I found comfort yesterday. I found comfort personally in our president leading the way and calling for a national day of prayer. And I know many churches across, in synagogues and places of worship across the country, had that day of prayer. And knowing that when fear comes at us, we have a responsibility. You know, really, I say this a lot. Fear is false evidence appearing real. When that fear knocks, we need to let our faith answer and trust and know. And we need to be cautious. We need to set up those things in our life, those practices and habits, that we take good care of ourselves and our immune system, and make sure that we're clean, and our home and our surroundings and our office is clean. We got to do all of that anyway, right? That's a responsible thing to do. But we also need to not avoid one another, in the sense that we need to raise the bar for kindness, raise the bar for looking out for our neighbors and our friends. And I just encourage you, when you're out and about today, you know, everybody's got this anxious anxiety level going on in the unknown. Be that voice of hope and encouragement to your neighbor, to the person that you're encountering today, and show love and light where you go. I'm excited to have in the studio with me today a gentleman I had the pleasure of meeting at one of my first meetings that I had been to in Marion County after moving here. And this gentleman, I just love his disposition, And you know, they say when you meet someone, that first impression is pretty important. And when I met him, he just had a calmness, a wisdom about him. You could tell that he had a depth of knowledge and understanding, and he really gets. He gets Marion County. He gets this community. And what I love about him in the short time that I've gotten to know him is that he enjoys serving. He enjoys being a connection. He enjoys building bridges for our community and looking out. He's like a watchman on the wall for our community. And it is my pleasure to introduce to you, and I'll tell you a little bit about his background. His name is Kevin Mannix. He's an accomplished attorney, a former Oregon legislature, a former chairman of the Oregon Republican Party, and a dedicated community leader. He's been married to Susanna for 45 years, and they have 3 children and 4 grandchildren. He graduated from college at the University of Virginia in 1971 and received his law degree from the University of Virginia School of Law in 1974. He has served as a law clerk to the Oregon Court of Appeals, Assistant Attorney General, Oregon, Assistant Attorney General, U.S. Territory of Guam, and Administrative Law Judge in Oregon. In 1986, Kevin established his own law firm right here in Salem, Oregon, and continues with his private practice today. He handles business law as well as legal representation for foundations and nonprofits. Kevin served 5 terms, which is 10 years, in the Oregon House of Representatives and a partial term in the Oregon Senate. Kevin has been a member of East Salem Rotary since April 1982. Kevin led the team which founded Blanchett Catholic School, not owned by the church, in 1995. He served as chairman of Blanchett Board for 23 years until June 2018. Kevin is the founder and executive director of Oregon Port of Willamette, LLC, which proposes to build an intermodal transload facility in Brooks. And I welcome you to the show this morning, Kevin. Thank you for being here today.
Well, good morning. I'm glad to be here, although with that introduction, it's not my obituary, please. I'm still actively enjoying being engaged in this community.
Well, it's such a neat time to have you on the show, and it's in a sense that your disposition and your personality is really speaks words of wisdom in a time where I think there's a lot of chaos and a lot of unknown right now. And I think in your time, you know, I mentioned the 9/11 thing. Do you know, in your time of service, in your time of business, have you ever seen anything like this before?
No, I haven't seen anything like this. And I think that we'd have to go back a long ways to have. In fact, I don't think there's been quite this kind of community experience, except perhaps when we had they call it the Spanish flu, the epidemic of about 1918, which killed millions across this country. And even then, I think that we were in a reactive mode. Here, we're supposed to be in a proactive mode, but there's a concern that I have that we could be too proactive. I've been looking at the statistics, and internationally, the novel coronavirus is very serious. It's infected, as of today, 165,000 people in 135 countries. There have been 5,700 deaths. That's significant. In the U.S., it's 49 states and the District of Columbia have had infections, and 3,700 illnesses as of today, with 68 deaths. However, when you compare that to other things going on in the world, we seem to have become immune to the millions of refugees in Syria, or reading about thousands of people dying of starvation in particular countries. This is a spread out disease, and it's dangerous because we're not immune to it, we're not used to it, and we need to be responding proactively to prevent its spread. And in a way, I think the spread of fear and panic is also something we need to be concerned about. My view of the stock market, for example, is that I think that the stock market has been overcome by panic. Mm-hmm. And my encouragement to folks who have their own investments is stand pat. And unless you suddenly need some cash for something, leave your investments alone, because this is a fear-driven stock market right now. And when the mechanisms of government are kicking in with the Fed dramatically lowering the interest rate, when you see the Fed freeing up investment dollars through its own investments, when you see the Congress having passed an $8.3 billion early bill for services.
Right.
And now, Friday, the House, late in the evening, passed a major bill to help people accommodate what they're doing. And the Senate will likely pass that today. We are seeing government respond. But I also see MeTooism cutting in. For instance, all right, Washington's had 769 infection incidents reported as of today. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm sure the number is higher as you look at it. They were one of the first source points, and I mean the state of Washington.
Right.
Here in Oregon, the last figure I saw was 39 cases.
Right.
Now, we do need to be concerned about that. But if anything, I think the things that we're doing right now are more than enough. And
right.
I'm concerned about the discussion that we're going to talk about curfews on bars and restaurants. Wait a minute. No, use good practices. We were at dinner the other evening in a nice Salem restaurant talking to the owner about how they've carried on all kinds of steps to make sure that the environment is as clean as possible, seating patrons reasonably far apart. You can be respectful of social distancing, for instance, and be aware of that 6-foot parameter. But we can also eliminate social connections for people.
Right.
And there are economic and emotional and social impacts to what we're doing that can also be debilitating to a society. So what I'm saying is let's plug in something else. For 11 years now, I've been president of an organization known as Common Sense for Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's apply some common sense here. I would, for instance, want to differentiate between rural areas and urban areas.
Right.
And taking a look at what needs to be done. What is the incidence rate among those 39 cases? And perhaps it's 50 now, maybe it's 60. But is rural Oregon being hit as hard as urban Oregon? And shouldn't we make some distinctions here when we give advice about what to do? I'm rolling on here because when I look at this, I worry about overreaction. At the same time, we all need to be showing empathy for those who've been
exactly.
affected. We need to be concerned about people who are ill. But in this mix, the old saying is an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Right now, we're applying a pound of prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, maybe we should have pulled it back a little bit. Or we need to be aware of this concern as we go forward.
Well, and I think the question is, in my mind, certainly is overreach. You know, we live in America where we find ourselves with individual liberty and we have an opportunity to really make personal responsible choices. And so we pride ourselves on our liberty and our constitutional protections. And I'm concerned even in the spirit of prevention and stopping the spread of this disease, that there's decisions being made from those that have the power to overreach. Do you understand where some of us are thinking on this?
Well, in fact, I do understand that. And my concern is that we're going to see political leaders who are enjoying their power too much.
Yes, and we're going to go into that point a little longer after this break. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, reliable news you can use. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Good morning, Salem. Good morning, Salem. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be along with you on this Monday, March 16th. Sunny today and for the next few days. Yay! Looking forward to that little warmer weather. Temperature today going to be 57 degrees, overnight 32. So might be a good time to take a walk after work in some sunshine and enjoying a wonderful Monday together. Thank you for tuning in. In the studio today with me, I have my new friend, Kevin Mannix, and we've been discussing what's going on and how to stay calm cool and collected during this time. It seems that everywhere, everybody's talking about the coronavirus, and it seems like there's been some decisions made, not only nationally in different states, but also some entertaining thoughts of potentially even shutting down restaurants and having a curfew and shutting down a bar and any kind of events. Of course, all of our sporting events have been canceled, and I heard communication about movie theaters and things like that. And Kevin, you were going into the break just talking about, we were talking about potential overreach, and us living here in America, where we're used to personal responsibility, personal liberty, not being told what to do, because the government's role really is to be protectors and to pass laws in a sense that protect us. In fact, when we swear to the Constitution, when we represent the people in general, we the people elect our representatives. We want them to be watchmen on the walls. We want them to be protective, but we don't need them to be our parents.
Well, in fact, I was immediately thinking of the nanny state.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember that government is created by us as a structure for us to be able to interact and work as a society, but government serves the people. The people are not supposed to serve the government. And there is this interaction that's going on right now, and I was alluding to it near the end. I'm seeing governors get off on their power around the United States right now. The governor of Illinois was unhappy that not enough people were listening to him about avoiding too many public gatherings because there were a lot of St. Patrick's Day parties in the Chicago area over mm-hmm. the weekend. And so he's now saying, well, we're going to have to decree that bars and restaurants be shut down. And my question is, so what incidence of coronavirus was there as a result of these parties? Or were these people engaged in social distancing at these events? Were they careful? And there are practical things we can ask people to do. Yes, wash your hands mm-hmm. regularly. Even though when you're going somewhere, be aware. We were at another restaurant yesterday where it was clear that all the salt and pepper shakers and everything else were put away. And if you need that, they bring it to you. But after you've used it, they wipe them down.
Right.
So in case some patron does have, even though they're not evidently ill, the coronavirus, that they're carrying it, mm-hmm. that you're reducing the risk of infection. There are practical things that can be done. But, for instance, the theaters in this area have reduced their capacity to one half so that there's an opportunity for patrons to sit further apart. Common sense response. The athletic facilities, mm-hmm. the gyms and the like, they should stay open.
Right.
It's good for people's health for them to work out. And, yes, wipe down the equipment before and after you use it. Okay, mm-hmm. I get that. And some equipment may be used so much by such as weights that you're holding them all the time. Maybe you stop using weights, hand weights for a while. But those common sense things are different from saying, oh, we're going to close the gyms, which is what is the discussions going on in other places.
Mm-hmm.
On the restaurants and bars, the amount of social interaction that can occur there, the effect on the small businesses, the
right.
waiters and waitresses who won't get those tips. I don't know what Congress will end up doing in terms of this 2 weeks of wage replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But in the short run, it's not going to help someone tomorrow who didn't get those tips and who is going from week to week in terms of paying their bills. So the social ramifications and the economic ramifications of government overreaction are serious. At the same time, we don't want to be unconcerned. We
right.
don't want to lack empathy for those who are affected. I predict that when we take a look at the statistics from this winter, that we're going to find there is a significant reduction in the incidence of ordinary flu.
No kidding.
Which kills 30, 40,000 people a year in the United States. We've gotten used to it. We know it gets around. People get flu shots. I got mine.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've absorbed it as a society. Now, this is a new disease, and no one is known to have a capability to resist it, except we're now noticing that children, mm-hmm. younger people, have a much lower incidence, and it seems to be particularly hurting the elderly.
Right.
Well, all right, we can analyze this stuff, but West Virginia is the one state that still doesn't have any incidence of coronavirus.
I saw that.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to put troops at the border and tell people not to go in or out? No. But West Virginia should be careful about what they do, but should they close their schools? I don't think so.
Right.
I'm sorry. I think it's all the ramifications here, and changing how we interact as a society. The closure of schools here. Now, I understand why our school districts, Adam Kaiser Schools, needed to close schools because the governor, they're a state institution. The mm-hmm. governor required that. Our Blanchett Catholic School, because we're a private school, we have the capability to ensure that all of the families are able to connect online. So we're carrying on education online. Mm-hmm. So we respected the directive to close the school, but we're making sure the kids can maintain their education online. It's not quite as good, but it's something. Unfortunately, in our public schools in the local community, at least a third of the families don't have the capability to go online, so that is not an option. So there's an impact, a socioeconomic impact, for those who are poor, mm-hmm. who are affected by this more than others. By the way, Blanchett, 40% of the families do receive tuition assistance, mm-hmm. but we make sure that those families all have the capability to connect online, just to make it clear that we're mm-hmm. not a rich kid school,
right.
but we're small enough and we're independent enough to be able to accommodate that. The public schools can't do it. So for 2 weeks now, we're going to see a lack of education. They'll probably extend the school year by 2 weeks. There's this ripple effect that's tremendous. In fact, I wouldn't call it a ripple effect. It's a tidal wave of impacts. Mm-hmm. So government needs to be sensitive to that. And right now, I'd be recommending to Governor Kate Brown, just ask people to use common sense about going to bars and restaurants. Don't close them down. And then if we see some significant amount of impact from not closing them down, we can revisit it. Let me add one other thing. As we are now implementing more tests, we're going to become more aware of the incidence of coronavirus, and that may create a false peak of incidence. So let's be aware that the statistics can also be driving us in the wrong direction.
I had shared on Friday during the show that one of my friends, Annette, from back in Arkansas, she used to be an airline stewardess. She's retired from that. Her son and daughter-in-law live in China. And when this was breaking out in China, of course, she was not in that part of the world. They were all over everywhere, and there was no one on the streets. And he has since reported it's back to normal there in China. So I'm hoping that this is just a blip in our year 2020. We're going to come back after this. We're going to continue the conversation on how to stay calm in a time that seems to be chaotic. You're listening to News Talk Radio KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. We'll be back right after this. Good morning, Salem. It's Monday, March 16th, 7:35 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in, my friends. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. Our website is kslm.news. In fact, you can listen to us streaming live there, download our app, and take us anywhere you want to go. Find us on Facebook, like us at KSLM Radio. We are news you can use, here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower. And again, if you have a nonprofit organization, some sort of event coming up, maybe you're doing an outreach to outreach families that are impacted by what's going on with this coronavirus, let us know. You can email me, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. And of course, we've been talking about our coronavirus that's in not only in Oregon, but around this country and around the world. And really trying to stay focused on the facts and not be living in a spirit of fear, because fear is false evidence appearing real. And in these times, we tend to look to our elected leaders to lead the way through these times and not necessarily dictate how we are to live in these times. And so it is this constant awareness that we're building. And part of that is being reminded that elections have consequences, right? Who we elect in these public offices, school boards, county commissions, onward into our state representatives and senators, and then governor, and then the president, of course, right? And our Congress, these are all important things, and you need to put these dates down in your calendar. Our Oregon primary election is May 19th. Now, at the primary election, this is where we're electing, like, the local county commissions, the school boards, our mayors across this area. In fact, I've in learning this area, we have guests with me this morning, Kevin Mannix, and we are talking about what's going on. And Kevin, my understanding that there's been several mayors in the area, several area towns that have resigned or not going for reelection. Maybe you can give me some what you know about that, but it's important that we get registered. Our registration deadline is April 28th. If you're not going to be here, that means you can get an absentee ballot, but you need to register and get that by May 14th. So, Kevin, give me some insight about why these local races, our state races, our national races, why we should get registered and be involved in this process.
Well, the first thing is you can register to vote online.
Okay.
So there's an opportunity there. The other is that the primary election is May 19, but in Oregon, it's all vote by mail.
Mm.
So everyone who has registered to vote early enough will get a ballot in the mail. If you register later and mm-hmm. beyond when you might have gotten a ballot in the mail, you can go in and pick up a ballot, and you can actually turn in your ballot. It's important for everyone to know that, unlike some states, mailing your ballot on the day of the election does not work. Your ballot must be received by 8 p.m. on May 19. In the state of Washington, for example, they're still counting ballots, because if you mailed it and it's postmarked on election day, it'll still be counted. That's not the case in Oregon. And actually, I like the way Oregon's doing it, just saying, get it in. And by the way, the last couple of weeks, there are drop boxes. You can drop your ballot off. But if you think you're going to vote by mail, great. Most people do, and they vote ahead of time. But don't think you can drop it in the mail on May 19. It won't be counted. It has to be turned in by 8 p.m. on May 19. And yes, all of the nonpartisan election offices, the voting is held on May 19. As to those, if someone receives a majority of votes cast, it's over. Sometimes you may have three candidates running for a local office and none of them gets a majority. Then there is a runoff among the top vote getters in November.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats and Republicans have their primaries, though. A lot of incumbents for a state representative, state senator, are not opposed in their own party, but will have a contest in November. But everyone should be engaged in paying attention to their state representative. We've all got one. And their state senator, we've all got one. There are only half of the Senate races that are up every year. The senator served for 4 years. So this year, half of the Senate positions in Oregon will be up for election. The other half get 2 more years. They get a bye in sports parlance. But all state representatives, all 60 state representatives, their positions are up for reelection. So pay attention to who's on the ballot in the primary. If you're not affiliated, unfortunately, you cannot vote in the Democrat or Republican primary. But you have all those nonpartisan races that you get to vote on, and also any ballot measures that may be on the ballot in the May 19 election. Most statewide ballot measures officially go on the ballot in November. And the mm-hmm. same is true for most other ballot measures, but occasionally you'll have a local ballot measure. I'm probably telling you more than we need to, but the key point is, are you registered to vote? And yes, if you aren't, this is a good time to get registered, because you'll get a ballot in the mail. You'll get a voter's pamphlet statement, mm-hmm. which gives you information about the candidates. Please read it. And yes, there's an opportunity to volunteer. Take a look at who the candidates are, and if there's someone that you're particularly interested in, contact them. Volunteer to be involved. And I'd encourage folks on the Democrat and Republican side, take a look at your county party here in Marion County or over in Polk County, where all the listeners out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the Republican Party, for instance, the Central Committee is meeting this Thursday, March 19th, and people are invited to come in and be involved. They can look up the Marion County Republican Party to get details. I'm mm-hmm. sure they can look up the Democratic Party and get details. And we do have people showing up who become precinct committee persons.
Yes.
You can be elected as a precinct committee person, and then you're more actively engaged in your party. I don't want to make this a diatribe about involvement, but the simple thing I'd ask everyone to do is register to vote, pay attention to what's going on, and then when you get that ballot, please do send it in.
One of the things I remember hearing a lot of when I've been involved in helping, volunteering, campaigning, in fact, even running for office myself, is the fact that people, oh, voting doesn't matter. My vote doesn't count. I know people in South Dakota whose elections won by just a few votes. Your vote does matter. You still do have a voice, and we need you to be involved. And if you're a non-affiliated voter or an independent voter, and you're thinking, wow, I want to be a part of this primary, and I'm not sure, I don't know where I line up on all these issues, because sometimes I'm on some things I'm pretty liberal, and on other things I'm conservative. That's okay. That's the beauty of being an American. But I encourage you to pull up the party platforms. Most county state parties, they have their platform right there in a link, and you can look at what they're standing for. There's their declaration of what we stand strong, and it's that party platform usually that I would use as my kind of my filter to see, okay, how do I want to vote for a candidate? Do they line up? Do their actions and their words line up with that platform? Okay. And so I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do some research. You're home. Maybe you're working from home. Maybe you're home with the kids. You could do little research and get involved, get registered to vote, and then vote.
I got a couple of practical tips.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Oregon, a lot of people want to say I'm an independent.
Right.
Well, actually, you have to say you're non-affiliated, because there is an independent party of Oregon.
Oh, gotcha.
And so when people check, if they check off independent, they're actually becoming a member of the independent party. You go to the bottom of the list when you're registering, and there's a non-affiliated. Now, I encourage people to pay attention to the parties and to register with a party that they feel comfortable with. That means they can participate in the primary. At the same time, if you're non-affiliated and that's what you really want to be, that's the box to check. But that also means you don't get to vote in the primaries for those parties.
And I get a sense, too, when you're non-affiliated, you really don't, you're out of the loop. You're not getting the inside scoop and information. Am I correct in
that?
Well,
you're out of the loop, except I know that the Democrats and the Republicans, and we are actively pursuing those non-affiliated voters, because they are now the swing voters.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your established Republicans, and if you have a candidate excuse me, who is reasonably Republican, or you've got an established Democratic candidate who's reasonably Democrat, they have their base. But we know that in round figures, a third of the electorate are non-affiliated. They're the folks we need to reach out to mm-hmm. win elections.
That's true.
So you can be engaged as a non-affiliated, sort of, call me, I'm not affiliated. On the other hand, if you want to be engaged in working for candidates, registered with the party.
Well, you, by saying that, it's like if you don't want to be bothered, you think you're going to put non-affiliated, but really you're in the hot seat. So you may really want to. It might be motivation to look at where your values line up with each of the party platform and get affiliated. You might not be bothered as much. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, if you want to be bugged less, sign up with a party. Then, of course, they'll know. They'll have a sense. They'll be reaching out to their own folks to turn out. But there's a lot of outreach now to the non-affiliated voters.
Well, I have to applaud what I've seen so far of the Republican Party and some of the meetings that I've gone there to see. Is I've seen packed rooms, and I'm suspect, like myself, who's not been affiliated in a while, that people are drawn to getting involved, getting engaged, and their values line up with the Republican Party being pro-life, being, you know, local control. You know, I love the Second Amendment, confirmation of our own individual liberties. And truly, in my perspective, in my worldview, it lines up. And so, again, when was the Marion County, the next meeting?
Oh, the next meeting, it's at the VFW Hall in Salem. Yeah, here I am plugging it. But if you show up, you need to be, you should be registered as a Republican, and you should anticipate asking to be involved in a Republican Party. It's a central committee meeting. There are some things that are voted on by the people who are the precinct committee people,
mm-hmm.
but guests are welcome. And it's 6:30 Thursday, March 19 at the VFW Hall. And by the way, we will be careful about the size of the crowd. We'll even divide the room up if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
There were 100 people at the last meeting, and if need be, Now, the Centers for Disease Control is now saying avoid gatherings of more than 50 people. Well, you know, you could have 50 people in a small room or 50 people in a big room. Let's use some common sense here.
Exactly.
And I know the party, I'm sure the Democrats would do the same, will exercise common sense about what happens with gatherings. But darn it, this is an election year.
Exactly.
And people need to be getting together.
Yeah, you kind of think the timing of all this is very interesting, to say the least. But I think of all the people that are at Costco and Walmart and buying things, you know, there's no restriction so far there. And so you're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio News. You can use Good Morning Salem. I'm Stacey Ann. We'll be back right after this. Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be along with you on this Monday, March 16th. Going to be a nice day. In fact, sunny sky and temperature about 57, overnight low 32. And the good news is, yay, going to be sunny throughout this week. So I am thinking that some of you are going to go by the garden center, right, and get some plants and maybe spend, if you're home anyway, you're going to build your garden and do some things constructive around your house, maybe a spring clean, whatever you're doing. Be sure to bring KSLM News along with you, because you can listen to us streaming online, you can download an app, and be sure to be our friend on Facebook at KSLM Radio. In the studio with me is my friend Kevin, and we've been talking about how to stay calm through the kind of the chaos that's going on, and certainly a lot of rippling effects of fear and wondering what in the world is going on. Never before, I know, in my life, other than at 9/11, was things kind of in disarray and put on hold, where school was closed and things like that. And the reality is that we got to stay focused on the facts. And as Kevin had shared earlier on in the segment, you know, Kevin, what was the numbers again of the worldwide impact, all the way down to Oregon impact of the numbers of incidences?
The last figure I had internationally was 165,000, but it's probably gone up significantly in the last day or so. 135 countries, 5,700 deaths, a tremendous number in and of itself. But it has to be put in context. In the U.S., it's 49 states and the District of Columbia have been affected, with 3,700 illnesses and 68 deaths. But in Washington, the last figure I had was 39 cases. Maybe it's 50 or 60 now. Those are numbers to alert us, and we should pay attention. But relative to the ordinary flu, this is a small impact. The difference is that we have you can get an inoculation mm-hmm. against the ordinary flu, and we're used to dealing with it. We're not used to dealing with this virus. It's novel, the coronavirus is something that we are adjusting to, because it's also spread relatively easily by interaction among humans and by the virus itself. If you touch things and you've got the virus, it can be spread easily. And mm-hmm. I'm not speaking as a medical expert. I'm just talking about what I've seen in the news. So we need to be sensitive to that. We have to apply common sense. But we also need to be careful about overreacting as a society.
Well, and I'm pleasantly updated in regards to what's going on in Congress and things like that, as far as the feds have reduced the rate. They're looking at economic impact, and I'm concerned about business. I'm concerned of my friends, like my friend Diana that has a bar and grill here in town, and I'm concerned of the impact on her business and her staff. And it's one of the places we like to go and have a nice dinner, and the place is always clean. They're immaculate about all of that, and I'm thinking about all of these, the ripple down effect, you know, of how this is going to affect people. And of course, what the decision happens today in 6 months will really feel the impact of that.
Well, in fact, to some extent, this is a self-fulfilling prophecy economically. Yes, you shut down cruise lines. That means, all right, the cruise line doesn't operate. The crew at some point will be laid off.
Mm-hmm.
The passengers won't have flown to the cruise departure site. They won't have taken a cab or a rental mm-hmm. car or an Uber.
Right.
They will not have stayed overnight at a motel beforehand or a hotel. They may not have gone to restaurants. The restaurants aren't there getting the business. The waiters and waitresses don't get the tips. There is a real ripple effect to all of these. You close down a local bar and grill, you've just affected a small business person who may just be making payroll every mm-hmm. couple of weeks. And you've also affected, again, the tips. You've also affected the social atmosphere in the community where people can react and relax and be with one another. So every time we do one of these things, we need to be thinking about what I call the social and economic factors as well as the health factors.
Right.
So there are common sense things we can all do. I'd say go out, have a good time, and yes, engage in social distancing. Don't go to mass crowds and mm-hmm. be all bunched up. At the same time, your local bar, they should be cleaning everything mm-hmm. very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
You should wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, people who are ill should stay at home.
Yes.
That is the most important thing, is if you're not feeling well, stay at home and call your medical provider. Don't show up at the clinic or at the emergency department and expect to be taken care of, especially if you're feeling the symptoms that have been reported in terms of shortness of breath, cough,
mm-hmm.
all of the symptoms that are described in the media. Be aware of that. And if you're feeling that way, call in for medical services and advice, but don't show up until you've called in.
And a lot of people are setting up those call-in lines. I've looked online, and locally we have, if you dial 211, they'll be able to get you connected to resources or where you can go to potentially get tested and things like that. But whatever you do, if you run out of toilet paper, do not call 911.
By the way, there is no gastrointestinal impact here.
Yes.
It's all about breathing and yes, coughing and mm-hmm. and all of that. It's the respiratory system that's especially dealt with here. If you've got gastrointestinal issues, it's probably the ordinary flu.
Yes, and I want to share a little bit about, we went through earlier on when we kicked off this show, a little bit about your biography and your background. You worked as an attorney in business. You've represented well. You're connected in the community. You've launched foundations. You've launched schools. You know and you love this community very well. And I applaud you for honoring God with your life and honoring your community by serving and being that bridge and that connection. And I'm excited to learn a little bit. Tell me about this new thing that you're working on, which gives us hope in this area in the Pacific Northwest. It's building an intermodal transload facility in Brooks. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. We've created the Oregon Port of Willamette. We've worked with the Brooks community to develop plans to establish what's called an intermodal facility. Intermodal means you move your product, which are in these 40-foot containers that are mm-hmm. carried on tractor trailers, but you can put them on rail to go to our export cities of right now. The ports that are handling containers are Seattle and Tacoma. And instead of trucking up I-5, adding to congestion and carbon emissions,
mm-hmm.
Put these containers on rail in Brooks. It will help our farmers with the efficiency and cost effectiveness of shipping. We've developed the plans. Now we have to get this in motion. And there are some other facilities we're looking at in the valley to do the same for imports and exports to help improve Oregon's competitive position. But also, it's good for the environment, mm-hmm. reducing carbon emissions by less trucks on the highways, making short-haul truck trips instead of long-haul. And our farmers need this in order to be competitive in the international market. Now, it's worth a half an hour discussion
sometime.
Oh, I
know. We'll get it. We'll have you back.
We're working on it.
Yes,
okay?
we'll have you back, definitely. What I love about it is, again, it's real practical solutions to hard problems that are going on, not just a law that's passed or a mandate saying this is what you're going to – these are real grassroots efforts that are looking at – these are our obstacles we have to overcome, and how can we get better at it? And and being a part of the solution. And again, that's why I'm a big, you'll hear me, friends, keep talking about get involved, don't stand by, don't put your head in the sand, you know, get involved in the process. Go to things like you're involved in the Rotary. We had an opportunity to go, Terry and I visited East Salem Rotary last week, enjoyed our time there, looking forward to spending more time. East, we don't have time to go into that really today, but
Community service,
the Rotary Club here in Salem. There's several you can get involved with. And yeah, it's about getting plugged in, my friend. Love to hear from you. If you have any feedback, ideas for show topics, guests, let me know. Stacey at KSLM.news. That's STACEY.KSLM.news. I am so glad to be with you today. Look forward to being with you tomorrow. Thank you, Kevin, for your time. You have a wonderful day.
Same to you. Yes. And same to Salem and Kaiser.
You're listening to News Talk Radio. Have a great day.